Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch Our Crappins, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old Bravo television. I'm Ben Mandelker, broadcasting from warm, sunny, lovely Los Angeles. Joining me is my very own snow bunny, Mr. Ronnie Karam from the ninth circle of frozen hell. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello. How are ya?
Ronnie, are you okay? Ronnie's in Texas, everyone, which is, you know, frozen over and has no power and all that stuff. And by the way,
my God.
I was being facetious, but my heart goes out to everyone who is currently besieged by this snowstorm in Texas.
Yeah,
how are you doing?
It's a mess here for sure. This place does not know how to deal with ice and snow. Everything shut down. People don't have electricity. I don't have water or internet, which, you know what? I'm lucky because my sister, poor thing, has not had electricity for 2 days. Okay, they're sleeping by the fireplace, her and her kids and her husband and stuff. So it's crazy. I mean, what are you going to do? I'm like getting tips off Facebook because right now I'm recording this because I tethered my phone to the computer, so I'm using Verizon. So thank you, Verizon, because this is pretty badass. But I've been like getting my real life hacks, you know, off Facebook, mm-hmm. and people are like, "Hey, don't worry about missing water. You can just microwave some water or heat it up on the stove and use it for toilet water." And I was like, "Thank you, sir," because that's exactly what I've been doing. Just brush my teeth in some snow water, Ben. Okay.
I feel like you're going to be on like an episode of I Shouldn't Be Alive and I'll be like, what happened, Ronnie Karam? You're like, well, my power went out. My internet went out. And you nearly starved to death. No, I just didn't have internet, so I shouldn't be alive.
And water. I mean, I'm at least feel good that the water went out as well, because, yeah, it was lame just saying, like, I don't have internet, you know, that's so first world. And I'm complaining while I'm sitting there playing Mario, you know. But yeah, now I don't have water, so I have some cred. Yeah.
You know what, though? I don't think it's as first. I mean, it is first world, but at the same time, it's significant right now because it's a pandemic and really a lot of our lives have become dependent on the internet. So, you know, don't totally, you know, disregard it. I mean, you know, you're going through shit as well as many other people. So,
oh man,
listen, I know that when my power and my internet goes out, I'm like a monster and I don't know what to do with myself.
Well, it's just amazing. You really realize how dependent you are on the stupid internet. I mean, you use it for everything. And when even Verizon throttles, you know, so sometimes there's like nothing. And I sit there on my phone, nothing's loading, and it says no internet. You can't, it's like, Ronnie, you fucking fool. You can't use this right now. And I still sit there and I just stare at it and then I swipe. Mm-hmm. And then I stare, and then I'll like tap the phone and then I'll swipe. And then I'll go to Telegram. And then I'll go to Discord, and then I'll go to Facebook, and then it's Twitter, and then is YouTube TV working? No, the internet's not working. And like I'm yelling at myself inside my head, like, you idiot, there's got to be something else to do. But I'll sit there for hours just tapping and swiping and tapping and, oh my God, a tweet came through. Oh God, it's out again, you know?
Well, that's the thing, because they give you like a little bit of internet. So if they just said no internet, you're like, okay, I will move on with my life. But instead, they just make a website load really slowly, or you'll get that one tweet that's like a stupid-ass retweet about something you don't care about, and you think, well, I'm getting a little bit of something. Maybe I'll get a little bit more in a moment. So when you have just like that shred of internet access, you just stick there, and you don't move on, and that's just worse. It's worse than just saying, you know what? Internet's out. Go out and play in the snow, right? That would be actually more helpful from the companies.
Yeah. Well, it's like watching porn when the internet came out, you know. Well, you couldn't watch porn like videos, but it's like, right, I want to see a picture of a peepee, you know. So it's like one little stripe downloads at a time. And then, you know, 30 minutes later, you remember?
You start off black
30 minutes later. Yeah, 30 minutes later, you realize it's like a total fuggo anyway, and you just wasted all that time. It's like, okay, well, I guess I'll try another one.
It's like very, very true. That is exactly what it was like circa 2000 on dial-up trying to look at porn. It was really difficult.
That's how the whole world feels right now. But you know what? I'm so lucky. I get to be here doing this, and you know, people have it way worse. So I hope everybody's taking care of yourselves over there.
Yeah, everyone really be careful and just, you know, it'll be over soon. So, also big thanks to Ray Sani who subbed in yesterday, on Atlanta. We had like a 2-hour recap, of course, because we can never stop talking. So that was really fun. So thanks again.
Yes. Thank you, really Ray. And, I'm really glad Kenya got someone to stand up for her ass, because you know, I was ready to come on there and rip Kenya a new one yesterday. I was so excited. There was finally a good Atlanta. I mean, not finally a good one, but finally a really good recapable Atlanta, you know, where we could just really rip into it. And I could not wait to go off on Kenya. And then, you know what? The weather saved you, Kenya. The weather saved you.
No, we had a few moments where we, like, I at least once I tried to channel you, and I said, this is the part where Ronnie would say this. And then I had like a Ronnie monologue about why Kenya was terrible. But yeah, you had two Kenya apologists. I mean, and I think I'm a Kenya apologist, but Ray really takes it to a new level, which was really impressive. We got into like a very long discussion about, whether she should have had, like hired nannies or not. And, I do want to actually add one brief thing onto that, which is sort of unfair because Ray is not here to like counter, but I don't think it's really counterable, but like we were talking about, is it fair to ask Kenya to leave her child with her, you know, her aunt or her cousin for 5 days, while she's, you know, in a different state? And it occurred to me that like actually what we really should have been saying is it's not so much about that. It's like, why can't she just hire another person for next door? So that way Kenya can stay up for 2 more hours. You know, like that was actually more of the question. So,
Why have a trip?
You know, that's true.
That's my question. Why even bother? But you know what? Today is not Atlanta Day. I'll have all week to worry about that one. Today is the season finale of Below Deck Regular.
Yes, today is classic Below Deck, wrapping up with an episode that was just sort of humming along, and then all of a sudden I was crying, and then I was humming along again. I was like, great, great. Thanks for making me cry, Below Deck. So this week's episode opens up in the wheelhouse. So the last we saw was Elizabeth being called up to the wheelhouse where Francesca is with Captain Lee to get fired. So this time we sort of see it again. And Francesca, this time I noticed something that for some reason it cracked me up, and I don't know why, but when Elizabeth comes up, Francesca's sitting in like a swivel chair, and her chair is like swiveled away. And so she tries to do this like swivel towards Elizabeth to fire her, but she can't really get like momentum with her swivel chair. So she has to put her hand on the table and kind of like crank herself slowly around. She's like, well, Elizabeth, hold on. Let me just rotate a little bit before I fire you. All right. It was like the opposite of a power move. It was just like a very failed power swivel.
Well, it's because she was waiting for Captain Lee to do everything. Like, she had perfectly positioned herself in her, like, Dr. Evil swivel chair, and she was looking at Captain Lee, because he's like, can we have you up here, kiddo? And so Elizabeth comes up, and he's like, all right, Chess has to tell you something. She's like, oh, God, swivel.
It's like that Arrested Development episode where Job swivels around in like a wicker chair, and then Michael has to be like, that's not a spinner. It doesn't spin. It's not a spin. You can't swivel that one.
Yeah, Francesca's kind of clunky. Like, she's basically a clunky power move. I think that we could just say that for the whole season. She was very wanting to be badass, but just kind of failing. Like, did you notice at the end of this episode, she showed up finally in her Kate Chastain power shawl? Like, finally, she whipped out the power shawl, because, you know, that is a Kate Chastain classic. And so she finally was like, look at me. Oh, I've got a power shawl. and it doesn't fit me right. You know what? And I know that shawls don't necessarily fit anyway, but I've still tied this to look like it doesn't fit me properly. It's like clunky, clunky power shawl.
Clunky. Yeah, I would say Francesca's clunky. Although I actually like Francesca, and I'm on team Francesca, but she is a little bit clunky. She's not effortless the way Kate is in instilling fear amongst her fellow crew members, and she's not as brazen as Hannah is in just hating everyone. She's just has clunky authority. That's just what it is.
It's clunky authority. Yeah, I feel like she's kind of a Lilith Crane, you know, from Frasier.
Yes,
she's not Lilith Crane. Yeah, is that Phoebe? What's her buns from Cheers?
Lilith is Bebe Neuwirth.
Yeah, Bebe Neuwirth, not Phoebe. Sorry, everybody, I'm old and cold. But Bebe Neuwirth, yeah, she's Lilith Crane, except like Lilith Crane, if she decided, you know what, I'm going to take a gap year, and ended up on a boat cleaning toilets.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. So Francesca starts doing her little monologue about, you know, like, you know, I've had to give you all sorts of attention, and sleeping in the guest cabin was sort of the final straw for me. And Elizabeth is hearing it, and she has her hand on her chest, almost as
she
if
clutches her heart.
She clutches her heart almost as if she's like won a pageant. Like, she actually looks like she's about to, like, she thinks she's going to receive finally her two stripes back or whatever. She's like, she's like, I think she's like bracing for great news.
And it sort of come to the decision that we're going to have to let you go. What?
Wait, what? 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 Wait, I want to hear the rest of this, but also I think I left the kitchen on fire. Hold on one second. It's like,
that's exactly why.
Oh, I'm please. So sorry. I'm sorry, really sorry. And you can tell by my half smile I have on my face as I say, really sorry. It's like, please, please,
please, let me stick it out for the last two. Please, please, Jesse. Please.
You've exhausted your chances. Francesca! And Captain's like, all right, well, Chest will help you get yourself together, Checkers. All right, pick yourself up off the floor there, Checkers.
And she turns to Captain Lee and is like, I'm really sorry. He goes, well, so am I, but sometimes it just doesn't work out. And could you please stop pouring ammonia on my shoes right now? Oh, I was just trying to clean it to get my job back.
All right, let go of my goddamn leg. Let go of my leg. All right, get out.
Please.
I was dying. I was dying. And she's like, I don't know. I never, ever could have guessed I would be leaving the boat this soon. I would be the first to admit if I did something wrong or if I was bad in any way.
This soon? There are two charters left. It's the season finale.
I die. And she will never admit when she does something wrong either. I was cracking up. So then she goes to Francesca in a hallway or something, and she's like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. It's like, your behavior has been absolutely a bullshit.
Well, I feel the same way towards you, but you haven't been nice towards me. That's because you made mustard gas in the crew mess.
And you're not respectful to me, and you're chatting about me to everyone, and it comes back to me, and I don't appreciate that. She goes, please, Francesca, please, will you talk to Captain Lee?
I swear I didn't kill that studio executive. Okay, enough with the Roger Rabbit, okay? Enough with that.
Papa, please. Like, I was the one who made the call in the first place, you nincompoop. So then,
she's like, can you make Captain Lee change his mind? Oh, God, this poor thing.
Cracking up. I don't feel like she's a poor thing at all. You know, this is how she's going to be at every job she ever goes to.
No, I mean, poor thing. No, she's terrible at her job. Poor thing in that, like, she's incapable of understanding really what's going on. She just feels the pain. So I just feel so bad for her, because she just probably has felt so much pain in her life, but she doesn't realize how, like, incapable she is. She's incapable of understanding her
incapable of understanding how incapable she is. So then Rachel's in the kitchen, and she's like, there are a lot of problems with service, not just with Elizabeth. Shit starts at the top, and it rolls down a hill. Or my leg, but no need to live in the past. All right.
By the way, I'm sorry to go back to one little point, which is that Francesca said, she's like, you've been talking a lot of shit about me, and now it's come back to me. I love when a head stew uses that as if they haven't been talking shit about their underling the entire season, too. Like, they, like, we've seen Kate do it. We've seen Hannah do it. It's like, oh, you were talking about me. It's like, yeah. I mean, like.
Yeah, but Elizabeth is even incapable of talking shit about somebody. She does it like I do it. You know how I think I'm all sneaky? And it's like, I heard you. I'm standing right here, and you're yelling at the top of your voice.
I think that's probably why. That's probably what it is. It's like you don't even have like the ability to do this, to be sly about this. You're literally doing it right in front of my face, Elizabeth. Yeah. That's probably what it is. She just doesn't respect her shit talk game.
Yeah. So Rachel is like, 2 weeks ago, why would you need to bring a new girl in? Jesus Christ. I understand the girl has her foibles, but she's close to my heart. And then we get a montage of why Rachel is loving Elizabeth so much. And it's because Elizabeth basically listens to all her tears and hugs her whenever she's wrong in a fight. And then, what's the other thing?
It's basically
it gets to bitch about Francesca because they both don't like Francesca, right?
Yeah, it's basically like a montage of Thumper laughing in Bambi. Like, that's basically what it is. So, right? I mean, so, and I haven't even seen Bambi. I just know that much about Thumper.
Oh, God. No wonder you can laugh about it. Because when you said that in my mind, I was like, too soon. It's always too soon to talk about. No, Bambi's mother gets shot in like the first 5 minutes. She's dead.
Well, I'm not saying she's like Bambi's mother, although I can imagine Elizabeth watching that and being very traumatized. So
yeah, well, who wasn't, you know? I know that you weren't referencing that, but like there are certain things you can't reference without being like, oh, there's not like a happy moment you can reference in that, you know? Bambi died. I mean, Bambi's mom died. That's it.
I have to say, well, Bambi eventually died. I mean, that's just life. But you know what, though? I have to say, I'm very lucky. I've gone through life without having the trauma of seeing Bambi's mother being killed. Maybe it's time. So, speaking of trauma, Elizabeth is still wailing. And she's now pulling this strange line where she's saying, can we just finish as a team? Can we finish as a team? Where does this team thing come from?
This was my favorite part.
Bridget's just like, no, I've given you enough chances, Elizabeth, and please don't touch me.
She's like the little kid in Hope Floats when the dad is driving away. It's like, Dad, please.
Yeah, that's a movie I was traumatized by.
See, you can't say Hope Floats without that moment. You can't be like, oh my God, remember that funny part in Hope Floats? No, okay? There is no funny part in Hope Floats. That little girl's father, just leaves her.
Yeah, rude. So, Francesca's like, I don't want to be a chief stew, but I've given this girl so many chances. Let's roll the footage, okay? And then now we see the mustard gas, her not tending to guess,
I was in music for your montage of rolling that beautiful bean footage.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if that's like Thumper's thing.
No, that's the roll the beautiful bean footage.
Can't we just eat these beans as a team?
And Francesca's like, she shouldn't be this surprised. So then
Elizabeth this surprised about, oh my God, I opened up the can of beans and there were beans inside.
They showed a little clip of her earlier when she's like,
I hope that this is the one time that I don't fall in love on a charter.
And then they cut to her being like, are we going to get married, James? You have to propose. So Rachel's in the kitchen and she's, oh wait, nope, we already did that.
Elizabeth.
Please.
Elizabeth is
Rachel. I think I just scrolled up again so I could see that part again.
Please.
So Elizabeth is talking to Rachel about it, and she's like, she said I don't respect her and she wants me to go. And Rachel's like, okay, stay calm. Here, let me calm you down. Titties.
I'm like fuming right now. I'm like soap and water. Never put those things together. It's dangerous. I learned that much.
And then James is just like, whoop. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to miss her, but I've never really caught feelings for her. Honestly, I don't even know her name. Is it Roberta? I don't even know.
And you just hear her. she's at that point of crying where she's going. And the producer's like, James, is Party relieved that you don't have to tell her that there's no future with you? And he's like, why would you say that to me? God, I'm an asshole.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then now, and we go back to Liz, who's all, again, sobbing. She's like, oh,
you know, I'm crying about coronavirus, and if I have to go, I don't have to pack and go back to New York, I don't want to go.
Listen, I think coronavirus is scared of Elizabeth at this point.
Oh, gosh. So then, yeah, she's like, you're basically sending me to my death sentence, you know? She's like, they're making me go back to coronavirus. So Izzy is talking to James, and she's like, did you see that coming? I think it's personal. And now we go to this birthday cake.
Yeah, the awkward birthday cake, which at the end of our last recap we remembered. Will be awkward. Little did we realize how awkward it would be. So then Aisling goes up and gives Elizabeth a hug goodbye, and she's like, I'm so upset. And Aisling is just like hugging her and looking at the camera like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this girl right now? I'll call her chicken or something and then send her on her way.
Unfortunately, I don't think yachting was for Elizabeth.
As if you have to be a certain strong type to iron clothes all day long. It's like she just wasn't cut out for the incredibly difficult job of yachting. So
I don't think Elizabeth was cut out for physics, just based on how many times that ironing board collapsed under the iron.
Yeah. So then Izzy's telling Rob to rinse, and he won't listen to her. And she's like, Rob. And he's like, I'm 3 feet away. I can hear you, Izzy. She's like, well, let's give her a good old rinse. And he's like, just smile and nod. Just smile and nod.
Like it's the biggest fucking crime in the world that a woman told him to do something. So then Francesca's in her bunk, and Elizabeth's bunk, because Elizabeth is like packing up whatever, and she's like, so how's it going in here? You want me to help you carry anything out? Okay, let's get you off this boat as soon as possible. And she's like, she's like, all right, then I'll just take this bag and put it on the dock, whether you want it or not. She just takes it. She's like, you're getting off this boat as soon as possible.
Yeah, she's like, would you like me to hold open this door so it doesn't hit you with a good Lord split, you bitch? And Eddie's like, oh, can I help, Dad? And he tells us, Chess has been done a long time. I think she's just been looking for the right reason to fire her. It's pretty evil, but I guess it's what's best for the crew.
I don't think it's evil. She's like, this person is not doing their job when she's dragging us all down. But I haven't had a good chance. And, you know, you need to have a good reason. You need to have a good reason to really fire someone. And
what was the reason?
Evil. I think it's called.
It was sleeping in the guest quarters. It just happened a week later.
Well, no, but it was like continual mess ups, like just talking with James instead of doing her work. You know, it's like nonstop. It was nonstop. And she's like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's think about that for a second. So,
I was taking a nice big long inhale of some lemon pledge flavored vape. Delicious. Okay. So, James is like, you know, the only ones that have left are the girls I'm sleeping with. Did he sleep with the other one? Gross.
Shane?
Oh. That'd be hot. No, who left first? Who was the other? Oh, no. He meant, I think,
no
Izzy.
Girls have left.
I think he meant that Izzy moved outside.
No, because Rob had said, so on the last boat that you were on, when someone quits, did everyone line up on the back of the boat? And he's like, well, the only girls that I had left were the girls I was sleeping with.
Oh, that makes more sense. Yeah. So Elizabeth is hugging everybody goodbye. She's like, love you guys, love you. And then she stops with James and just waits for him to say something, and he doesn't. And she's like, this sucks. And he just goes, I know. And then he just walks off. And she kind of walks off and then looks behind her to see if he's looking back, but he's not.
No. And then in the middle of this, while she's hugging everyone goodbye, like, oh, this is so sad. They just cut to Francesca on her computer, like, typing in with a smile on her face, like downloading some who knows what. She's like, well, I'm just gonna smile and type right now. I have one. She's just like very happy.
She's just sending huggy emojis to Norma.
Yeah, exactly. So Elizabeth says, when an opportunity like this closes, it's like a compass and it just sends you in a better direction. And I believe in karma, and what goes around comes around.
So then James is like, well, that's a shame. I mean, she actually liked working more than anyone. And Rachel's mad now. You know, she's like, I'm disappointed. Yeah. And she says, you know, here we are, and it's a struggle every time I turn around. And she's gone. And who's to blame now? Francesca has done nothing to solve problems.
Yeah, she's really pissed at Francesca. So, but Aisling, though, feels very relieved, and Francesca has a weight off her shoulders, and, but Francesca can also tell that Rachel is really pissed, and she's like, well, you know what, at this point, if she has a problem, she can jump off the boat, too. How about that? Clunky authority.
So everybody's getting ready for their big night out. And let's see, the captain is just looking at the internet, and he's like, the whole goddamn world has gone mad! We know what he's looking at.
It's porn. So, can you believe the sort of pornographic videos they have these days?
I remember when you just got one line of penis at a time. Now I gotta sit here for 20 damn minutes.
By the way, have we mentioned the fact that, Ronnie, you were name-checked by the Queen of Versailles on another podcast, apparently?
Oh, well, look at that. Little Jackie, yeah, hello!
Apparently, Jackie said that you guys are great, great friends, which is...
I love the Jackie. I prefer when she's not saying things like the Democrats are making up Corona to make Trump look bad. So thanks for giving me a shout out the same week. But yeah, I like Jackie. She's a very nice lady. She took me to Vegas for my 25th birthday that time, and I got to go to Mrs. USA.
Oh, for your 25th birthday.
My 25th. She's a nice lady.
She's very sweet. She's just one of a kind.
And she's very funny. she's very, very her. I was there when she got her own dollar slot machine at the Westgate Hotel and Casino. And she put on her big ball gown and her sash and her crown and stood by the dollar machine as everybody lined up to take pictures. I said, you are too fucking much. Please, let's be friends forever.
Back on the boat. So James is calling with his calling his mom, and she's like, Formula One's been cancelled, and all the rugby's been cancelled, and you can go into shops and can't find any hand sanitizer or soap or cheese from Cruddington Turf and Shropshire, or cotton cream or scones. They're all out right now.
He's like, am I just stuck in Antigua then? And she's like, better than the house, darling. Nice evening. Have a nice evening, you hear? I'm going to try and get my hands on some paper toilet. So then we go into the van, and Francesca and Eddie are wearing matching little pink Golden Girls couches, his outfits. Aw, cute.
Yes, it was sweet. And James is like, Liz is my drinking partner, and now I have nobody. So, Aisling, you may need to fill the void. And she's like, ugh. So they go,
and
to
you know
restaurant.
That Elizabeth just threw a bottle at the television when he said that, because that was her big fear the whole time, was that he's flirting with Aisling, and so immediately he's like, Aisling, you might need to fill the void.
Yeah, she threw a bottle at the television, but then the television fired her, and she's like, no, but I want to stay in the living room. Get out of the living room. This is my space.
I was just trying to turn the channel. Please.
Come on. Come on, let's finish the TV show as a team, TV. No. So Aisling, now gets a text from her friend who lives in Italy. It's like, it's all traumatic. All shops are closed. Only pharmacies, supermarkets remain open. Hospitals are full. Doctors have to choose who they save. And it's just like one of those things where like, basically took me back to literally a year ago when we were getting all these things. Remember a year ago when it was like Italy became the punching bag for the world? It was like, you guys, we got to be on top of this because we don't want to be like Italy. It's like, that's all we kept on saying. Like, I mean, just look at Italy. And now, of course, the U.S. is the disaster.
Oh my gosh. And, you know, she's saying all this dramatic, sad shit. And James is like sitting there dinging the little candle LED light going, potty, 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 potty.
Yeah. And then Eddie's like, well, the next 2 weeks are supposed to be really, really bad, but then it's probably going to get better. Which was, you know,
Oh, the days. Remember when I said that optimism. Just a year ago? Oh.
Yeah.
So Rachel's like, already unhappy. Like she's already stressing and unhappy, right? Because her boyfriend's in Italy. And so then to make her even happier. Happy birthday, to you.
Happy birthday. That's Candace version. Happy birthday to you. The Lisa Barlow version, which we only learned about last week.
Happy birthday to you, love that. Happy birthday to can I touch? A birthday cake comes out that they ordered for Elizabeth, and Rachel is so mad because everyone cracks up. Like, oh my God, they're singing to the empty seat now, you know? And so I think it's really funny. Right. And Rachel's so mad that they're all laughing. And the waitress is like, okay, do we need some knives over here? And Rachel goes,
no, because there's already one in someone's back.
No one was betrayed. No one was betrayed. Someone was let go for gross incompetence. I'm sorry. There was no betrayal.
Yeah. So she ordered the cake and she canceled it. And she thinks this is just fucked up because Francesca is acting so glad Elizabeth wasn't here. You know, it's fucked up. And so she gets up from the table and leaves. And then she just starts cursing to herself, pacing around outside going, that's bullshit. That's rude as fuck, dude. I'm rude as fuck. It's bullshit.
Yeah, it's she. She is now like fully like a ranting ranting crazy person, just be like, now that's not how it works out. That's fucking fucked up, dude. Fucking Jesus, cut fitness, fucking cut fitness, fuck taste. That's fucking so bullshit. Fucking bullshit. Like, she's just like pacing in the corner of the restaurant, like smoking with her, just angry and furious about the cake. I mean, do you think it was, I have a question. Do you think it was tasteless? Do you think it was, I guess, I mean, it was tasteless.
I thought it was hilarious. I mean, who cares if it's tasteless?
That was my question.
It was hilarious that the cake came out, and you're the one who ordered the cake, okay? So calm down over there. So
I was thinking it is tasteless, but I can see myself laughing in the situation. Because it's hilarious. I mean, the irony. It's irony.
Yeah. So, even using the word irony is so funny talking about Elizabeth because she literally couldn't iron. She wasn't very irony, you know? So, Francesca's like, Rachel, do you want to come with us? We're going to leave now. Would you like to come? She's like, I'm good. Okay, I'm good. And does that little tight smile thing. And she's like, please come with us. We really want you to. She's like, I'm a little upset and that was very untasteful. So, I need a moment. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I need a moment. Thank you.
Did I do that? She just starts doing impersonations. I mean, it was nice that she was being loyal to her friend, but she was also being like a little over the top, I thought. So, and then so she takes the other van back and she like slams the door. She's like, you know, like, oh, tasteless cake. I'm so furious. So now it's, now they're all back on the yacht. And Francesca wants to talk to Rachel, but is like very scared because Rachel's in a crazy state at the moment. And Rachel's just like pacing and like, yeah, you're going to get my fucking rat tonight. She's like, so she goes up to Francesca and says, that was the most distasteful thing I've ever seen in my life. Like the most distasteful thing you've seen in your life. The most was then laughing at the cake. I'm not sure about that.
Cake.
And I like that she acts like she's the queen. Like she gets all regal. She's like,
to eat a cake on someone's birthday, I really don't think that is a good move. Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, we got a pandemic going on right now. We got assholes frolicking over someone's departure. I don't think it's right now. Like, you should be so lucky that you still have a chance to frolic with people over someone's cake. Okay, you should be so lucky.
Yeah, you quit. And Francesca's like, let's work through this. She's like,
actually, I give zero fucks. So here are my fucks that I have to give. Zero fucks. That's right. You can catch me in Chicago. Coming up soon to New York City, baby.
Titties! So, and then we just get like a shot of Eddie in his bunk texting his mom saying, miss you, mom. Miss you, mom. So then Francesca's then telling James and Rob that Rachel's treating her like a piece of shit. And you know, they're just talking about how she's all caught up in the cake situation, etc.
Rob's like, it's almost like icing on the cake. So then Rachel calls her mom and goes off about the cake to her, and she's like, and then I have to wake up and pretend none of this shit happened with a trivial smile, mom. Oh no, it's not her mom, it's her boyfriend. Sorry, at first I thought it was her mom.
She calls Vincenzo, and he's like, it's 5 in the morning here, which is his way of saying, why the fuck are you calling me right now? And she just goes, I know, my friend got fired. Like, does not care that she just woke him up at 5 in the morning. So he just gives her
his nose in the phone, which is funny. And he's trying to make her laugh, but she tells us he makes everything so much better. And he says, I love turning that light on, though. And she's like, oh, God, don't turn on the light. Don't turn on the light. What happens when he turns on the light? I want to know now. This is like a thread that I need to be finished.
Yeah. So, as an Aisling is like, I'm going to have the best sleep ever tonight. No bubblegum for me. So she hops into bed, and Francesca gets into bed and bops her head on her laptop, which is hanging over her head for some reason. And everyone gets into bed, and it's March. Next day, it's March 14th, 2020.
That was an incredibly long bed montage. It really was, because I kept writing that too. It's like, and then this person goes to bed, and then that person goes to bed, and then another person goes to bed. So we wake up to the news voiceover, and they got the boatiest boat news voiceover they could. The lady's like, we don't know much about this dangerous corona. This could be the tip of the iceberg. Thank you, got a boat reference in there.
It's like, don't mention icebergs to people on a yacht. So Rachel's like,
yeah, again, you can't mention, you can't say there's something funny in the Titanic. The boat went down. Okay, it's another movie you can't say something funny about.
No, we have to be very serious when we talk about the Titanic. It's truly one of the most serious things of all time. So Rachel, I mean, it was sad. So Rachel is, she's talking about last night was being a huge deal for her, and that she thinks Francesca is a super bully. And she's like, you fire someone because you're inept and incapable of training somebody? I mean, you fucking suck. I mean, how many times, though, do we see Francesca telling Elizabeth very clearly what she needs to do, and Francesca and Elizabeth just not doing it whatsoever?
It's just bizarre because Rachel's mad at Francesca over all of this communication stuff, but this has all been Rachel's fault, right? I mean some of the stuff, no, I guess it's a toss up
thing. The mahi mahi thing was purely Francesca's fault. I'm still mad about that.
Yeah, you're right. I think that was wrong too, but you know, I get that she's like projecting anger at Francesca. She's using the Elizabeth situation to get all of her anger out at Francesca, and it doesn't really make all that much sense.
Yeah, because I think that ultimately she's just frustrated and scared about her boyfriend, and she's just sort of projecting it out. So, so now everyone's cleaning, and there's talk about how the U.S. is going to be shutting down their borders, and Rachel calls Captain Lee because she requests to go up to the wheelhouse to talk. So now Francesca's really worried about what Rachel might possibly say.
Right. Cap, you available? So we're all wondering what she's going to say, right? So she gets up there, and he's like, how you doing, kid? I'm going to hold the O because you quit, so you're not going to get that O back till the end of the season, all right, kid? And she's like, I'm not okay. I'm having problems with service. Thank you. Oh, thank you. And he's like, look, we got... We got two charters left, and I'm out of shirts. All right, so this six fucking days. All right, I can stand on my head and, you know, twiddle my thumbs and do a hula hoop if I want to for that many days. All right, and you know what? I see Francesca's had to deal with a lot, so let's cut her a little slack. All right, I'm gonna get her some help.
Yeah, all I need is six more days. Okay, she's been going to bed way too late and getting up way too early. Okay, she's, you know how hard it is to give a kiddo that little sleep. It's not right. It's not right. And Rachel's like, well, I understand that, and I understand completely, but, and Lee's like, here's the thing. They both care about the same thing, but they're taking a circuitous route to get there. And if we got this, we got a shit sandwich that was delivered by Postmates without the most direct route to the destination. And guess what? We're hungry and we want to take a bite of the shit sandwich, but it went west and I live east, if you know what I'm saying. You don't know what I'm saying. I can see in your eyes. Just act like you do. Thank you.
All right. Look, I'm going to just put it this way. Francesca has been on this boat for months now, and I have not seen her wear a power shawl once. Don't you think she has the right to feel the power of the power shawl? Yes or no? Okay, totally understand. Good, now get the fuck out of here and make my Cheerios.
So, Rachel, like, leaves and is like, damn it! I heard that, kiddo! Oh, I gave you the O. God, it was such a good damn it, I had to give her the O. So, now it's time for cleaning, and this is like, we get a lot of chicken talk here. This is where Francesca starts calling Aisling chicken a lot for the rest of the episode. She's like, looking good, chicken. You've done great work, chicken. I like what you're doing there, chicken.
What else? There's a lot of working right now. Okay, we know we're at the final episode because we're just really watching laundry for the rest of this. They, and then people saying bye, right?
Well, because they don't have anything to pad out a full hour. So, like, it really should have been that last episode was maybe a supersized 90-minute finale or something. But they, like, we have to make a full episode out of the time between, like, one charter ending and one, and then all of a sudden everything being done. So we're just gonna watch a lot of cleaning. So what happens is, Eddie makes an announcement that he needs to do laundry. So if anyone has any laundry in the lads, that they should remove it. And Rob goes, copy that. And Izzy says, Rob's on his way. And he goes, did you say Rob's on his way? I just said, copy that. Why do you sell me out like that on the radio? And she's like, well, I didn't know. He goes, oh, throwing people under the bus, huh? You know what happens when you throw people under the bus? They die. So it's like, dude, I couldn't tell.
So what was the problem? He had his laundry in there, and he felt like she was tattletaling that he had laundry in there?
I guess so. I mean,
is that where we are?
I couldn't tell if he was really angry or if they were editing him being dry, like dry tongue in cheek, into making it sound like he was being a dick. But either way, I kind of felt like he was being a dick. So I'm going to go with it.
So Izzy's mad and she's like, I'm going to talk to him now. That gives me so much anxiety, but I'm going to have to do it. He doesn't like that I'm the lead and I don't like to flex, but guess what? Oh, I can flex. Does he just have insecurity issues or are you just genuinely a dickhead?
So now Rachel calls up Francesca to the galley, and then they're going to like hash things out, you know, and she's talking about, she's like, when you're on service, I noticed that you like being by yourself and you call for help. And like, I understand, you know, she was not a good stewardess. Good person though. Very dumb, but a good person. You know what I'm saying? And Francesca's just like, looking at her like, please do not defend Elizabeth right now. I'm in no mood.
Yeah, and she says, we can talk openly. And Rachel's like, yeah, you're not going to offend me. I mean, last night, though, it was. And she goes, listen, I'm your number one support down here. So please don't take your anger out on me. And she's like, all right, you know what? Enough with the bullshit. I'm sorry. Let's just get along and make the go of this, okay? Let's just do that, okay? Thank you. And then Rachel tells us, certain people you bark at, but some you just can't. Because if she gets aggressive, then she won't get what she wants out of Francesca. And this is like, Rachel always gets herself so worked up when she's drinking and then doesn't really remember why. And so now it's like she's here for her big fight. And then she's like,
I got nothing. So you're going to carry some dishes, right? All right, that would be great. Titties!
Two more charters. Suck my dick. So now it's 18 hours before the next charter, and James is eating peanut butter in the crew mess. So, you know, the episode's really, really hitting its stride right now. And Captain Lee gets a text.
We just keep seeing the captain. Yeah, we just keep seeing the captain having moments on his phone or his computer. So this one, he gets a bloop, and he just looks at it, and then he just drops his phone.
Yeah. So, yeah, so everyone's just like hanging out, and then Captain Lee is like, okay, attention all crew, I need every crew member and kiddo in the main salon in 5 minutes.
All right, that's going to give me enough time to do this clip package where 1 minute I'm standing on this side of the bridge and then the next I'm standing over there. Oh, well, now I'm sitting down on the booth and I'm stressing out, and you can tell because I'm scratching my face with my radio. That was the Captain Clip package of stress. All right, kids, kiddos, and kids without the O's, let's get down here.
And Eddie's like, something's not right. So so they all assemble, and James says, well, maybe he just wants to chat. I'm like, no. So so Captain Lee comes in, and he takes a chair. He takes one of the dining chairs and puts it backwards and sits on it, sort of like a youth counselor, ready to talk with the youths, you know? But the thing is, the chair is, like, really big. So his, like, arms, you know, he crosses his arms over the top of it, but they're, like, really high up, so he... He's like barely clearing the top of the chair, and his like legs have to go like fully like spread eagle because the chair is so wide. Yeah, you know,
this worked a little bit better in the Florida Dinner Theater production of Cabaret I did a few years back. Sorry, kids and O's.
Hey, Francesca, is there a bridge chair around? This looks a lot better with a bridge chair than a tall dining room chair. Can anyone fix this? No? Okay.
I asked for at least one Liza Minnelli 20 style bar stool in this goddamn boat. All right. Now, kids, this is something I've never experienced. It's scary as hell. It's frustrating because there's not a fucking thing I can do about it. And I'm not used to that. Come to the cabaret.
So the last two charters have canceled, and, You know, this is something I've never experienced. And, you know, basically everyone has to leave tomorrow. I wish we had known. Maybe next time I'll be prepared. Maybe next time we'll anticipate coronavirus.
Now, I know this is going to be difficult for you kids and you O's because money makes the world go round, the world go round, the world go
round. Well, listen. It's great. In some ways, it's great because you get to go home and your parents will see you and say, welcome home. Welcome. Welcome.
James, I hope you go home with full arms of produce. Your mom opens that door and says, a pineapple for me. Okay, so they have to leave, basically. It's over. You know what? We were going to have one final chapter of a new girl coming on and James getting a chance to sexually harass her for a couple of weeks, but guess that's done. So everybody, have fun tonight, and let's carry on.
Yeah, we have a great time, and you know, it's gonna be, I just want you all to enjoy this last night and drink and eat food and all that jazz. Sorry, just staying within the Candor and Ebb library. Just thought I'd expand beyond Cabaret because we really hit all the major songs there.
Listen, it's time to go, and when I go, I'm going like Elsie. All right, get out of here. I'm out of Cabaret references, all right?
Captain Lee tells us shit just got real, all right? And Eddie says, yeah, shit just got real. Like Dad said, the virus just came knocking on our door here in the Caribbean, you know? Oh, man, I'm hearing there's no toilet paper. I don't know what's going on.
And then James calls his mom, and Izzy calls her sister. And, of course, James on the phone with his mom is like, well, I guess that I'm on holiday now. And she's like,
but my holiday starts when you get back, James.
I tried to get some toilet paper from the local pharmacy, and you know what the woman behind the desk said? She said, I'm terribly sorry, there's been a mistake. It turns out it was Brenda Blethyn.
So everybody's getting ready to party, I guess. And Rachel is crying to us because coronavirus is really hitting, you know, and she can't get to her boyfriend because he's in Italy. And so she's going to have to go back to the U.S. And she calls him and he's like, let's go. And I've been watching. I've been playing a lot of Mario the past couple of days.
It's the Mario Kart music starts playing.
She's like, well, I tried to get to Italy, but I drove right over a banana peel and, well, needless to say, wound up in Spain.
Let me tell you this much. Do not step on pipes, okay? Suddenly you're going down into a different world filled with coins I don't need. I don't even use these coins.
Have you ever been to Delfina Beach? It is the most beautiful beach I've ever been to in my life.
So, so now the crew is drinking and Captain Lee just walks through and then they're like, hey Captain Lee, you want to have some champagne? He was like, no, I'm not really in a celebratory mood. Not that you could see. I mean, who am I? Just Mr. Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane.
Eddie's like, well, you know, that's the kind of captain he is, and he can be upset if he wants to be, but we might as well celebrate all we accomplished this season.
And so then they just all do a cheers and party a lot on the boat and fall asleep pretty much, right?
Yeah,
and so then Eddie and Rob are talking, and Rob's dad wants him to come back to Canada, but he's like, but I just moved to, you know, Australia, and I'm like, my car's there, my apartment's there, so pretty much wraps up my story. Please don't forget I had a little dog named Baloney Head that I found behind a dumpster, and take really cute pictures on Instagram with him. He's probably dead now. Okay, thanks.
Also, if anyone has any stones, I do have two pieces of wood I can offer for that. Thank you so much. I love Catan. So it's the next morning, and Captain Lee, he wakes up and he's like, well, I woke up and I thought I had to prepare for the charter, and I realized, no, I don't have to. So I don't even know what I'm going to do with myself. I guess I'll just have to give him the old razzle dazzle. Anyone? Anyone?
You know, I just want to go home and take care of the beautiful wife, because when you're good to mama, mama's good to ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
I guess, well, it's weird. It's, you know, it's, you know, like, I was really hoping that this charter season would go on like other charters in the past. I guess the grass is always greener.
Yeah, he's sad. So then Izzy gets up and Francesca starts playing the Rose and Thorn game like it's a Housewives reunion, and Eddie's thorn is charter one, Dad, and Eddie's like, but the rose is the entire deck crew.
Francesca's thorn was Rachel leaving or pretending to leave. And I don't know if she actually have, I don't think, does she ever have a rose? I'm not sure she has a rose. Maybe, probably Aisling is her rose. Or maybe the rose is surviving the mustard gas.
Yeah, we're still breathing after living with Elizabeth for this long. Yeah. So Izzy is like, he doesn't come to the bathroom. He's locked himself. Oh, yeah. So Izzy is like, she's telling James, she's like, listen, I want to chat with Rob about something because I'm going to let him know that the way he acted towards me was rude. And he's like, you know what? She just wants to flex on Rob, which is understandable, I guess. But I'm going to tell him. So he texts Rob and he says, heads up, she wants to have a quote unquote chat about your quote unquote rudeness.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't feel bad about it because Rob's his boy.
Of course, Rob's his boy because they spent like a week together. So Rob goes and locks himself in the bathroom so he can't be scolded by Izzy. And then And then Rob, now it's time for Rob to go. So he's going to be the first one off the boat. So he starts telling us, like, you know, after this, it's going to be Rob time for a bit. You know, I'm going to work on some papers I'm going to publish about stupid women when they try to boss men around. It's going to be in Geology Treasure Hunter magazine. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And, you know, I was afraid that people would think I was a little unaffected. So let me say something real affected. I like to mix it up. Too much of one thing is boring. I guess I'll just head out into the unknown. I'm just a man of mystery. What can I say? I'm Rob.
What a dork. So he's trying to avoid Izzy. She goes to the bathroom and he won't come out. So instead she goes and she blocks his exit on the boat so he can't just sneak off the boat, which he's totally trying to do. So he sees her and he's like, hey, Izzy, I've been meaning to talk to you. Like, you know, I'm really sorry to give you a hard time. And if someone was going to be lead deckie, I'm really glad it was you. All right, toots?
So patronizing. And so then she has this Alex McCord level confrontation, which is that the rage has bubbled up outside of her, but she doesn't really know how to harness it or really the best timing or really just how to do it. But it's fun nonetheless. So she's like, the way you treated me and the passive comments you said to me is really disrespectful, especially going into a management position, and it's not appropriate, and it was just a massive asshole thing to do. I mean, a 32-year-old should not be acting like a 12-year-old. I mean, you literally don't give a fuck. I mean, I know you don't give a fuck. You haven't been sincere with your apology at all.
And he's like, well, I'm sorry I made you feel this way. She's like, you don't give a fuck, so stop acting like you give a fuck. He's like, but that's how apologies work. Like, you say you don't like something, then I say I'm sorry. Then you say, okay, and then you show me your boobs. Like, yeah. Hello. And she's like, if you'd seen the error when I'd spoken to you before, that would be one thing, but you didn't, you know? It would have been nice for a real apology, but I guess I'm not going to get that. And Aisling and Francesca are watching from around the corner, and Aisling's like, she's a boss-ass bitch. Now that's a girl born for yachting.
She might even be a chicken. So, so she's like, yeah, she just basically is like, you know what, I think if you actually had... You know, I would have liked it more if you'd actually thought about it instead of, you know, giving me a fake apology. But I hope you have a nice, safe life. And then she just walks away, which was good. I'm glad that she said it. It was, even if it was awkward, she, you know, I'm glad she didn't let him off the hook.
Yeah. So then Aisling is next and she's like, my experience on the boat, or would sum it up, it's fun, vibrant, interesting, and weird. So she hugs everybody and it's super boring. Okay, so then the captain and Rachel comes up to the captain's bridge and he's like, don't put that lower lip out for me, kid. Oh, yarn draw, look at that.
Let me tell you something, Rachel. You're a very talented chef, okay? And there's a lady living somewhere where it is, I don't know, but I long to tell her that I love her so.
Is it Sarah Lee? Because I love that bitch. I love Sarah Lee.
Sarah Lee, your brioche just tickles.
Captures me.
Thank you, Rachel. This is why I like you. You can fix my Sarah Lee lyrics.
Sarah titties.
I gave you a culinary candor nab because you're a chef. I hope you understood that.
So Rachel is like, yeah, I am who I am. I just gotta be me. I have no regrets. I'm happy to get off this boat and deal with the real world. And as she leaves, Eddie goes, this place just got a whole lot saner, Dad.
Thanks, thanks, punchline from a TGIF comedy circa 1997.
He just smiles at the camera. Oh, we forgot to mention when they were fighting and he just turned around and looked at the camera like,
aww. Yeah. He's like, whoa, like they're crazy, crazy people.
So then Izzy goes up to James and she's like, I know you tipped him off. And she's just saying that, like, you know, she's really disappointed and it was a real dick move for him to tip off Rob. And he's like, I don't know what you're on about. I mean, all I know is that my mom can't get toilet paper from Brenda Blethyn right now. Okay, I've got bigger things to think about, Izzy.
Yeah. He's like, I just want to go back to normal life, you know, complaining about the weather, going to English gym, winding my parents up.
Yeah, just things like that.
This season has been a muddled blur between work, drama, arguments, and a salt babe sprinkle of fun. So I'm like, well, I hope you enjoyed your quote-unquote holiday.
Yes. So Izzy's still mad at him now. And she's like, well, I wouldn't say we're divorced, but we're at least separated. We're consciously unsettling is what we're doing. And meanwhile, Francesca and Eddie are the smartest ones on the boat because they're not just worried about hugs or like, what's my last line going to be? They're taking all the fucking hand sanitizer, okay? They know what's up.
Yes. They do. That was actually like an expert move. When I saw that, I was like, yes, you do that. Just don't waste it. Don't waste it.
So this is where Francesca whips out her Kate Chastain power shawl that's kind of tied wrong and badly and stuff. So Izzy's saying goodbye to everyone, and she says bye to the captain. And he's like, you're capable of much more than you realize. You've done real well, kiddo. And she says, I think this season has probably ended like Sex with James probably ends. Abrupt and unsatisfying.
I thought it was lovely.
Would you get off the boat already, Elizabeth? You've been fired.
So then we see her growth, you know, starting a third stew, hating life, but now she's ended where she deserves to be.
And now Francesca goes up to say goodbye to Captain Lee, and she gives him a chamois that they all signed, and he's like, well... I think she gives it to be like, this way you don't forget us. He goes, well, this probably won't be a season I'll forget anytime soon, to be honest. I'm going to look at the camera like, how does Eddie do it? How does he do with sitcom lines? You just look at the camera like that and wink? Okay. All right.
Chess is like, you know, there's a lot to manage and it was exhausting, but it'll be nice to see family. That's what's important. So she's out of there. And then Eddie goes up to be the last to say bye to Captain Lee. And the captain's like, you know what? You made progress. You handled everything well, and you hit some speed bumps, but you always do. So what's your ticket now? And he's like, 1,600 ton, Dad! 1,600 tons of fun!
So he's like, well, you know what? You got the paperwork. You might as well have the stripes to go with it. And he pulls out three stripes, which is like the first officer stripes, I guess. And he's like, I'm proud of you, Eddie. And then he tells us, Eddie's what I would have wanted my son to turn out like. Eddie lived. That's all I can say. At which point, I'm now crying on the couch.
Yeah, me too.
I am like, oh my God. And I was so moved. It was so beautiful. I'm even getting a little choked up thinking about it. And I have to say, I have dropped my baggage with Eddie. I've decided to drop my baggage for now, at least, because, you know, coming into the season, I was still resentful of how he gaslit Rocky. And I expressed many times how he like triggered so many things in me from like my past in terms of like people I worked with where I was like, fuck Eddie. But seeing how he like made Captain Lee, what he did for Captain Lee actually meant a lot to me. And so I was like, you know what? He was a pretty good bosun. I can't really lie. And he wasn't really as much of a dick as... I mean, he was still kind of a dick. But, like, I don't know. I really warmed up. Basically,
I like that you had your own arc. You see, you had your own season.
Yeah, I had a warm-up by proxy through Captain Lee. Listen, it could all change at the reunion. But for right now, I've taken Eddie off of my shit list and put him on my... He's fine list.
Yeah, on your okay list. So Eddie's so honored, you know, and he's like, that recognition means the world to me. And then he walks away, and then he disappears like a person from The Leftovers. And then the captain is the last. He's like, well, I started out in the hospital, and it didn't start out well. And then we see montage of Shane and Rachel going, you know what? Go fuck yourself. and it didn't Captain end Lee. Well. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and then... And then Captain Lee goes out to the dock. He basically says that he needs to go back and take care of his family right now. And, you know, like the first officer and the crew, the transport crew is going to take the boat back. And he just hopes everyone gets back to their loved ones safe. And maybe the world will be a better place than the one we left. And
I still got my dreams. The name on everybody's lips is gonna be Captain.
Captain. Captain Lee.
The man who's sailing in those chips is gonna be Captain!
And here's something we all have to remember. During these tough times, when we don't know what will happen next, you have to ring them bells. You gotta ring them bells. You gotta ring them bells. So,
here's the Capilli.
You know where I'm gonna head to next? New York, New York. That is a Candor Neb song, everyone. So this is what I thought was the funniest part. So the season comes to end on this like really beautiful note of Captain Lee giving these stripes to Eddie, saying how basically Eddie is carrying on the legacy of like all this like laden emotion, uncertainty about the world, sort of like melancholy, disappointment, sort of reminding us that things in this world really don't turn out the way we want them to, unfortunately. And he stands, he looks at the boat and he goes, "Thanks, old girl." And it's sort of like this really kind of gut-wrenching ending. And then it sort of like fades out and we come up on Andy Cohen saying, "They always show up when Captain Lee calls, and tonight gave them the charter season blue balls." I was like, that really killed my mood. I was like crying and I'm like, you just made turn this into blue balls. Would expect nothing less. Thank you, Bravo TV. You're my favorite.
Oh, Bravo. Well, thanks for a great season. Well, mostly Below Deck. Once you got it moving, let's just forget that time when I was like, well, I'm done with this show. But for the most part, okay. Great time. Is there going to be a reunion? I didn't see a reunion preview.
I didn't either, but I have to assume that there will be. I bet there. I mean, how could there not be? I mean, Below Deck is like their top show. So I'm just looking on their website right now.
Me too. Here I am on bravo.com/schedule.
Yeah. They have it. It's going to be a Zoom reunion, which I love the Zoom reunions personally. So I'm excited to see that. It says start watching the season 8 reunion now. So, Elizabeth, she looks beautiful. Yeah, they all look great. So we have that to look forward to next week for the next 2 weeks. And then Below Deck Sailing, which is really winning me over with their commercials. Really winning me over.
Yeah, then that one comes on. So everybody, thanks so much for being with us this season of regular Below Deck. We'll be back with the Below Deck reunion next week. And also, we're adding to our rotation Real Housewives of New Jersey this week.
So excited
for that to be back. So keep on coming back. If you want our bonus episodes or our on-demand video recaps, go join up at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. We love you. We'll talk to you next time.
No, don't. Do we have to end it right now, Ronnie? Please, no more podcasts, Ronnie.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res. She's Lauren Perez.
Patricia Murdoch, she wrote.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal
without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.